Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church, Enugu.
You can have your seat, please. I'm sure some people, when they came to church, they are wondering, these people again. This city will not finish somebody in this church. Some people are looking at them funny. But you know what? The Father's heart is just wonderful. You know, I can just imagine playing and somebody's looking at him. I mean, like, this person is unserious with his life. And God is being made happy by your 10-10. You know what is 10-10? Oga? God is excited at your playfulness. You know, some of us are more serious than God. He that sits in heaven is laughing. People that are sitting beside him are holy, holy, holy. We are holy in this place. No, laughter is actually very holy. Amen. God be praised. Hallelujah. Are you enjoying yourself in this service? Amen. What a good way to start the month. What a good way to start the month. Happy new month. What is it? Happy new month. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the theme that we're sharing or we're learning this month is back to the basics. And Hill City just took it literal. They took it personal. They took us to 90-00. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. But that's beautiful, really. God bless you, Hill City. Big time. So I am saved. Amen. I am saved. Okay, hands down. Not too sure. Amen. You know, there's a... Anyway, praise God. It's okay not to be too sure. The reason is that you now have an opportunity to be sure. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So if you're not too sure, you'll be sure after this service. Amen. Glory to God. So the topic we're learning from is going to be, I'm just going to flow as the Lord, the Holy Spirit will have me do. So, but I just try to title it so it gives context or it just helps us narrow down on some thoughts. And today it is, now I am saved, what next? Praise God. Now I am saved, what next? Glory to God. So it's good that we are saved, or we believe and we can say we are saved. I want to very clearly or very categorically state that being saved or being born again does not equate to going to church. Do we agree? So I am saved, so the next thing is church. Very good. However, that we are in church, you know, that you like the idea of church is not what equates that I'm born again. Are you following what I'm saying? So I can be in church. I mean, look at what history did today and dance better than everybody else. And I don't even have a relationship with Jesus. Is that possible? So it's good to be in church. Amen. But being born again is more than being in church. Okay? Anyway, I wanted to do this. I kind of forget. Last month, I wanted to celebrate everyone who brought us God's word throughout the month of April. We had different gifts in the house bring us God. So I trust we were blessed, right? Thank you so much. God bless you all. Amen. We have so many gifts in this house, and it's good to drink of all of them, make, you know, just get from them. All right. So what does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to be born again? We call it spiritual rebirth. Spiritual worth rebirth. So you can say it is a spiritual rebirth or regeneration of the human spirit by the Spirit of God. Okay? It is different from, of course, obviously, physical birth. And It signifies initiating a new personal relationship with God, receiving the life of Jesus, receiving a new heart, a new identity, and receiving the promise of eternal life through faith in Christ Jesus. Does that make sense? Too fast? Okay. I said it is a spiritual rebirth of the human spirit by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God. It's different from or distinct from the physical birth. What does it signify? Me and this signify. Where? Anyway, you get a point. What does it signify? Okay. It is significant. Hey, Father. Anyway, it means initiating. What is it? Abibo girl, no vex. It means, thank you, initiating a new personal relationship with God, receiving a new heart, a new identity, the life of Jesus, receiving the promise of eternal life through faith in Christ Jesus. All right? Amen. Good. So, I want a volunteer. I actually need 4. So, I want somebody very colorful. Somebody not too wonderful. One, be coming. Yeah, colorful. Good. Uncle Felix. Who else? Brother God's time. You are wearing black, so it's even good. I need you. Who else do we need? Just come up here so we can see. Okay, they're coming. Don't worry, come up. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Who else do we call now? We'll stand here, sir. No, stand face me. Stand inside. Okay, no, stand here. So one more person. No, not colorful. Just something related to him. Thank you. Stand at the back. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Glory to God. So these three people, imagine them to be one person. Is that okay? So this is the person that we see. The one you are seeing now. This is the person you are not seeing. His spirit. Is that okay? This is the soul you are not also seeing. Do you understand? So, and let's say this our brother is just living his life. He doesn't know about Jesus. He's just living his life. I'm good. I mean, every day I wake up, I just do what I like to do. Not necessarily sinful. I mean, he doesn't have a girlfriend. Get that? He's just that guy. You know? It doesn't matter. He can be in his house and say, I'm already at the bus stop. I'm in the bus now. In fact, he can be on his road to Onitsha. He say, no, I'm in Abuja now. I'm in Abuja. He does something like that. Not too sinful, right? You get the point. Not too bad. Just small things here and there. God can be doing his business. He's minding his business. Is that okay? So that's who he is. All right. So then one day he just heard about Jesus. Heard that Jesus died for him. And that this life he's living is not how he should be living. Now, he doesn't know the difference, right? So he just heard that a man called Jesus died for his sins. And he's wondering, what does that mean? What does that mean, died for my sins? But you know, thank God for the Holy Ghost, who always goes on the wings of his word. That's why you must preach the gospel. That's why you must preach it. It's not you that will change anybody. You are spreading something for the Holy Ghost to work on and get to a heart and work on that heart. So he's just wondering, what does this mean? But then the Holy Spirit begins to just let him know that somebody, Jesus, that you are hearing about, actually came, he was sinless. But because the way you are now, there's actually a better life for you. You are, the way you are living now, you are headed for destruction by the time you die. By the time you finish, you know, just walking around the surface of the earth, is doom, is destruction, is hell for you. But you see, the life of Jesus, when you receive it, guarantees or gives you life eternal. It translates you and then you become like a person washed clean, a different breed, a different person who is not who you are right now. A person who is not under the cage or the mask, not under the yoke of sin. So you have a God, you have one that made you. And actually, you should have a relationship with that one who made you. But you are struggling, you don't even know it. So you are headed for damnation. But you see, if you understand what is being shared to you, one is that you will know, you will now know you have life. You will receive life. The life that you have, which by the way, is Satan, is death, will be totally taken from you and a new life given to you. So he's just there. A sermon is going on. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, receive the life of Christ. He died for you. He was buried. He was raised from the death. And now he has ascended to heaven. And as you receive his life, you will begin to live like he did. You begin to live like he is living right now. Are you following me? And then the Holy Spirit is doing a work in his heart. And he just feels like, oh, I'd like to understand this Jesus. I'd like to receive this life. Because it seemed to me, I'm actually just living my life. There's no, it just, you're existing. You just wake up and you're following the tide of the day. You're following the tide of life. And it just, you know, it just dawns on him that I need Jesus in my life. I need a change. I need a different path. I actually like, I think now, I don't like to do that anymore. Why? See, he can't think it by himself. The Holy Spirit, through the word he's receiving, is working in his heart. So he can begin to think some things. You know, he highlights some things, convicting him of sin. And then he can see the things he's doing he shouldn't be doing. Okay, let me backtrack. Now, it's not so much of works than who we are. It's not that I don't lie, I don't do this, I don't do that. All right? It is that the nature of man after the fall is sinful. The nature of man after the fall is that we are sinful. We are headed for destruction. It's not that I have sinned, I've never lied, I've not done this, I've not done that. The nature of man is sinful. The heart of man, the Bible says, is desperately wicked. So our natural state after the fall is death, is sinful, is destruction, is darkness. Do we get that? So, but when we hear about Jesus, when we begin to give a thought to the message being preached, the Spirit of God gets into our hearts and begin to roll out this and begin to convict you of that sin nature. Suddenly, you don't feel too good about your life anymore. You don't feel like you are, you just see how dirty you are actually. And then those signs, which is now the works of darkness, the lying, the stealing, the all of that, is now the symptom of the sinful nature. Praise the Lord. So the moment he received Jesus into his life, instantly, this one disappeared. This one. Be coming now. Huh? Why are you coming with slow motion? It's instant. It's not slow motion. It's not traveling from Nara and becoming small, small. It's instant. This one dies. This one comes. Immediately you receive the life of Christ. The old man died. So remember, this is the engine of this house. You are really called for this assignment. Praise the Lord. She's giving engine sound like. Praise the Lord. So instantly the old man died. And then the Spirit of Christ came to live inside of you. So what it means is that initially when the old man, when the old man was here, so say this man wanted to say, praise the Lord, just wanted to lift your hand, But this one holds it down. He's trying to move forward. He's holding it back. So he wants to move forward. He wants to do something right. There is a limitation. I don't want to turn to sin. Oh, there's a limitation. I don't want to do this. Something is holding me back. There's a bondage that makes sure you do the sin. The law of sin and death. It makes sure you do what you don't want to do. You know, sometimes because we have a conscience, because we, you know, you just, there's that life of God that makes you know this is wrong, this is right. Well, you know, like Apostle Paul said, what I don't want to do, I see myself doing. That's when the law of sin and death is at work in a man. You want to turn left, there's something holding you back. But as soon as that life is gone, it is gone for good. What happens is that the one that is now there, you are no longer in bondage. You can now lift your hands. You are now free to exercise a life. You are now free to live. You are no longer under bondage. So when we look at Romans chapter 6, where the Bible narrates how that we're no longer under the bondage of sin. So imagine that I don't want to smoke, but there's something that is compelling me to smoke. No matter how I don't want to, I must smoke it. Why? Because I'm under some kind of bondage. But I'm saying that the man that has received Christ, who now has this new spirit, is no longer under that bondage. So when I say to you that you can make up your mind, you can actually make up your mind. Because the yoke has been broken. Because whatever bondage has been shattered. So you can lift your hands, you can live for Jesus, because inherently, inherently there's a change. You know, when you are saying to somebody who doesn't know Jesus, this is the right thing now. It's a waste of advice or waste of conversation. In most times. Why? The person does not have the nature to do right. You are telling somebody, why are you stealing? You are looking at somebody in office, government office. Why do these people steal? No, their nature is to steal. They don't know how not to steal. You can be telling them it's wrong. Then they can understand what you mean by it's wrong because they know it's not theirs. But there is a law that will make sure they steal. So that is why your assignment is to give that man Jesus. Because when that man receives Jesus, now there is a law of life that comes with an enabling power to help that man stand truly as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So now I know right, and I'm tilting towards right. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Isn't it wonderful? So when you receive Jesus, something mighty has happened to you. So nothing is holding you. You're no longer a slave to sin. It's no longer a master and servant relationship. No. Jesus is now your Lord. So when he says, raise your hand, you can raise. Go to church, you can go. Pray, you can pray. Glory to God. So what he says to do, you can now do. That is why the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, who is in me, strengthening me. So it's no longer the law of sin who is in you, making sure you can't do it. It's now the law, the life of Christ in you, enabling you to do like he would do. Enabling you to express his life. Glory to God. Something great happened to you when you got born again. You literally died. Romans chapter 6, please. Now, you know, this part of you remained the same, Abby. Nothing happened to this person. Abby? So your mind still remembers when I was in the world. You remember? So that's the part of you that remembers when we used to. You know what I realized? Let me say this here. If before you met Jesus, there are struggles you had. When you come into Christ, those things are also channels through which Satan will always come to you. Do you hear what I said? Probably we're addicted to one thing or the other. You are in Christ, you're a new man, you don't even remember them. But in your most vulnerable moments, It is those things that Satan can remind you how he used to be. That is through that place. You know how he says he left him for a more opportune time? That's what he does. Because if you are not inclined to stealing, he will not want to come and be tempting you to be stealing. It's something you have done before. You've left. He will want to bring it up to you. If you are not careful, that's still where you start falling from. That's why people who are addicted have the tendency of doing what? Getting back to the same addiction. Does that make sense? Praise the Lord. So, well, that's on the side. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? Somebody say, by no means. We die to sin. Can you put that in NLT? It has a way, it just was ruling out. NLT, please. Thank you. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? He says, of course not. Since we have done what? Died to sin. How can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? Go on. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live what? Hallelujah. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. Go on. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that what? Let's read together. Sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Hallelujah. Remember, you know, when we say sin, we have a mind how we compartmentalize it. Big sins, small sins. All these other people, hell. Like that auntie the other day. We are the people that Jesus loves. All these other people, they should not even enter church for the next 2 months. That's his Tasha. Praise God. Hallelujah. He says we are no longer slaves to sin. I'm saying unforgiveness, backbiting, jealousy, gluttony. Are you with me? My own no go lost spirit. Everybody's own can lost, but my own was never lost. We know that for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. So sin has power. But you are no longer under that power. You have been set free from the power of sin. Somebody rejoice in Jesus. What it means is that Christ is sinless. And because we are no longer under the power of sin, we can be as sinless as Christ. Glory to God. Amen. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also, you see that, we will also live with him. Go on. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. Praise God. 10. When he died once to do what? Break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. Now that you live for the glory of God. Christ has died once. Forever. He's not going to die again. So when he broke the power of sin, he forever broke it. He forever broke it. Go ahead. So you also should do what? Consider yourselves to be dead. So the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. He said do what? You consider yourselves. What does that mean? So this person will now sit down, of course, this part of his but life will not be doing that and consider himself dead to sin. See, that consideration has to be done. You have to think it. You have to think it. You have to think it. How do you think it? You get to the word the Lord has given to us. What does he say? What does he say about me? That's where you know what to think about. You must consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin. If you are trying to break out of every habit, the best way is don't go and be meditating on that habit. Brother Shadrach, amen? Don't go and be meditating on the habit. You know what it means to meditate on it? Do you know what it means to meditate? Okay, do you know what it means to worry? Worry. You're worrying about something. Should you be talking, hi, Jesus, this morning. Hi, how are we going to pay this bill? Hi, right? You'll be saying it. So that's the negative part or negative way to meditate. So to meditate is, oh my God. So I'm set free from the power of sin and death. Eh? So I'm no longer held bound. I'm no longer slave to sin. How did this even happen? You are doing what? You are meditating on what Christ has done. You are considering it. You are pondering on, hey, so me that doesn't know my left and my right. Now I have the life of God. How is it possible? Let me even understand. You open the Bible, you find something else. Eh? So I'm now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So that means I now do right. Everything I do is I'm able to now do everything right. You see that? You are considering. What it does is that as you are doing that, you are receiving the life to actually be, truly be. Do you understand me? So that's what this person will be doing. Consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ that you have received. Are you still with me? Good. Do not let sin control the way you live. Who should not let? Who should not let? Who should not let? You know when we pray, Lord, give me grace not to sin. He's saying, this is your grace. You are not able to sin. That's why he says, he that is born of God cannot sin. Do you understand? He says cannot. He didn't say will not. He that is born again cannot, because you already have abundant grace. Are you with me? Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Well, let's think about this. How is it that he says you are no more slaves to this? But he's saying to us, do not let it control your life. Do not let it into your life. Are you thinking with me? How is that? It means that salvation is not the end. It is the beginning of a journey. Praise God. We've received Christ. You know, I said, what next? So I've received Christ. The journey didn't end. You stepped into a journey. You enter the bus going to somewhere. And you're going to now start learning the rules of that journey.
I entered a flight the other day, you know.
So and they will say, buckle your seatbelt. They will say, put your phone off. They will say, do this, do that. Shall we, you'll be doing it with speed. You'll be doing all of that. Why? They are the rules of the flight. If they see you with your phone, they'll give an instruction. They'll stay on your case until you obey. Hallelujah. Your children have school they go to. They may have different uniforms. If you wear them, the one that is not it, you stand the risk of us, you know, being that child being sent back home if you're a repeated offender. You know, their parents, I don't even remember which color for the day. Don't confuse me. Until they send your child back with you. And I gotta write it down. The point is, there are rules for the game. So when you now receive this Jesus, he begins to tell you left, right, forward, back, left, right. Do you understand? He begins to talk to you. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. Do what? Do what? You want to stand up? Oh yeah, let's read. Instead, completely God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. He says, so use your whole body. body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. People of God, we can. Use your whole body, your eyes, your hands, your legs, your heart. Use your whole body. Use, it says, first of all, give yourselves completely to God. So what it means is that this person will not say, I've received Christ, I have received Jesus, and then this part of himself is retaining some things. He's retaining some thoughts. He's not considering what I am now. When the Bible says repent, what does repent mean? In Greek, it's metanoia. It means like taking 180 degrees like this. You turn around. You change your mind. So you are driving. And, I missed a turn. What will you be, what will you do? You are looking for a way to turn back into the right path. Right? Abby? So when somebody repents, is that I'm on a path. And then something dawns on me. There's a realization that I'm on the wrong path. And I'm making up my mind to do a change. So when I do a change, assuming I'm going to Lagos, and then maybe I missed a turn. Maybe I'm going to Abuja, I missed a turn, and I'm not heading to Nasarawa. I mean, that happens, right? So you now turn around. Are you still on your way to Nasarawa? Where are you headed back to? So if in Nasarawa, they don't walk with shoes, right? Will I now be in Abuja and remove my shoes and be walking 10 toes? Please, I'm not saying that natural people don't wear shoes. I'm giving an instance. Praise the Lord. So now that I have turned, I will start doing what the people that are where I am do. I'll start learning how to live in Abuja. I'll start learning how to dress in Abuja. I'll start learning how to walk in Abuja. I'll start learning how to be in Abuja. Abby? So when you've repented, imagine I say I have repented, and then the Jesus I repent, I turn. Remember, repent is to do what? Change your mind, a change of heart, a change of mind. I've changed my mind and I've turned to him, and then he's white and leading me towards white. But then somehow I'm deviating and turning towards another direction and returning black. I'm hoping I'm not confusing you. So there's righteousness. I've turned around, given the gift of righteousness. So I'm supposed to now be living righteously, but somehow I'm tilting towards unrighteousness. Why is that? Because something that should be happening to this person is not happening to him. A renewing of the mind that should be happening to this person that will help this whole body stay on track is not happening. That is why we have believers who look like they've never repented before. That's why we have people in church who are just, they don't hear the Lord. They don't know even when the Lord is speaking. They're just living. Meanwhile, use your whole body, your spirit, your body, your spirit, your mind. Use every part of your body. Let's continue. I want to finish to verse 18. No. Verse 13, please. Let's read that. It says, instead, give yourselves completely to God, including your mind, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Go ahead, 14. Sin is no longer your master. Amen. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. You live under the freedom of God's grace. Hallelujah. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Once saved. Say to your neighbor, that's a lie. Since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we cannot go on sinning? If you receive the life of righteousness, how can you go on sinning? See, if you enjoy sin as a child of God, it doesn't matter. You're just in it. We need to query what spirit you received. Because the spirit of Christ we received it's not in sync with the spirit of sin, with sin, basically. So if you are enjoying it, then we don't worry, what did you receive in the first place? Praise God. Because we've received the Spirit of Christ, that's why, somebody can say, I used to fight, but I don't fight anymore. Not that you are trying to stop fighting, but you just realize that as you are walking with God, suddenly the taste for fighting left you. The taste for lying left you. The taste for whatever it is left you. You didn't even know when it left. You just found out that you don't do that anymore. You used to do business like how does Message Bible say it? Dog eats dog out there. You used to do your business like that, but suddenly there's a life in you that doesn't let you eat another person. So no, of course not. We'll not continue in sin. Verse 16, please. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? He says, you will do the choosing. Did you see that? You are slaves to whatever you choose to obey. You can be a slave. Please follow this. Remember when we started? It says you are no more a slave to sin. Abi? He says that power has been broken. But he went on to say, you can be a slave to sin. Do you see that? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death. It also tells you the end point. Or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. I'm saying to you, it's not you are creating an opportunity that will encourage you to do what you don't want to do. And you're saying, Lord, give me grace. Imagine that Joseph was praying for grace when Potiphar's wife was holding his shirt. Do you understand? She was like, Lord, give me grace. Grace, Lord. They're holding your leg. Grace, your shirt is coming out. Grace. See, Bible says do what? Flee. Leave. The grace you have at that moment is grace to flee. Because if you didn't have that grace, you can't even, you'll be so, before you understand what is going on, you are done for. But because you have grace, you can actually remember to flee. Praise God. Don't wait till your boxer is now on the ground. Pastor will not be dragging you to, hey, save him, Lord. Flee. Praise the Lord. Do what? Flee. You have the grace to do that. He says, you can choose to be slave to sin. People of God, I need that to sink in. We can make that choice. Why? Do you understand? That's all. Because of this. The one that was holding you bonded, ensuring you can't do those things you want to do, is dead. The person that is new in you now enables you, is actually encouraging you. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. So you can make a choice to let the person that you've been broken away from, the power that's been taken away from you, to come upon you again. You can choose that, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Say, I choose to obey God. I choose to obey God. I make that choice. I choose to obey God. So every time you falter, it means you disobeyed in something. Are you hearing me? Anytime there's an error, there's a case of disobedience there. Are you still with me? You can choose to obey God. Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now, you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Remember, it's writing to a church. Now you are what? Free from the slavery of sin, from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous reason. How do you become slaves to righteous living? How do you become slaves to righteous living? Talk to me, church. The previous verse. Yes, you see that? You can choose to obey God. 17, please. 17. But wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Wholeheartedly obey. That is how you make the choice to live righteously. Praise the Lord. That is how you make the choice. I'm saying it is now the ball is now in your court. You can make a decision. No, sin is no more your Lord. It used to, but not anymore. That's why Jesus came. You are not no more struggling, because Jesus is now living in you. enabling you. Remember, also interceding for you. So the job of this part of you is to keep reminding you of what Christ has done, of who you now have on your inside. Praise the Lord. When the Bible says that we should repent, you know, when you look at Revelation chapter 2 verse 5, can you put that up for me? Revelation 2 verse 5. Revelation, it says, look how far you have fallen. He's writing to a what? The church in Ephesus. Right? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, remember, a church, if you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. Does somebody need to repent of something? I'm trying to say to you that when we are believers, repentance is something we keep doing. You keep turning around from your, you keep navigating into the right path. You keep navigating. Trying to follow the leading of Jesus. You keep following Jesus. You keep entering the right path. You keep following. Praise the Lord. You keep repenting and repenting. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know what that is called? It is called putting off the old man. It's called putting off the old man. You know, Jesus has done a work. He says it is finished. It doesn't mean that our own work also finished. Your own work is to keep aligning to his work. Keep anchoring to his work. As soon as you begin to veer off his work, that anchor, you begin to tilt towards what you are not. I said what you are not. It's not who you are. When you sin, that's not who you are. When you falter, it's not who you are. When you do something wrong, it's not who you are. It's something you did. However, you are able to do that because you are tilting away from your anchor. So how do we stay with the anchor? Praise the Lord. You stay with the word and prayer. That's why that song will never go out of style. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day. Thank you. Read your Bible. Pray every day if you want to grow. Celebrate them for me, please. Thank you so much. You know, standing up for a minute is not easy. Shall they preach it to me today? If you want to grow, if you want to grow, read your Bible. Pray every day if you want to grow. Praise the Lord. So now that you are saved, the next is to begin to grow, to be like Jesus. The end point for us, let me, I think I wrote that out. The end game, Ephesians chapter 4, when we read from verse 16, I'll just read that quickly because I want to, Ephesians chapter 4. Read from verse 11 rather to 16. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue. What will continue? The building up of the church, the body of Christ. God's people, equipping God's people to do his work will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So this is the you that God saved. That is the you. That colorful one is the image, is the end point, the end game. Do you understand? So there is a journey in between where you got saved and where the maturity, the complete man in Christ, getting that full stature, attaining that full stature in Christ. There's a walk in between. Hallelujah. So this is where we are headed. Why this is important is that if you don't understand that your assignment or that the end point is that you become like Christ, you can just be how you were from the moment you gave your life forever. So you were saved, but there's no change. There's no transformation. You still think like everybody else. Meanwhile, there's a life that is consistently trying, seeking expression inside of you. Praise God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. So what do we do? Luke chapter 9, 23 and 24. Luke 9, 23 and 24. Luke chapter 9, 23 and 24. Luke chapter 9, 23, 24. Then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. You see that turn again. Are you seeing? You must do what? Turn from your selfish ways. So we have selfish ways. He says, now that you have repented, now that you have saved, now that you have turned from your selfish ways, what do? Take up your cross. Sometimes, when we are happy, when we feel like it, when our bank account is smiling, take up your cross daily and follow me. Follow who? Not social media. Not your friends. Follow me. Go on, 24, please. 24, 24, 24, quickly. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Have you ever been in a situation where you'd be like, you just say, if not be Christ. Have you ever been in that situation? You just, if not Christ. You just think it. If not Christ. There's something you remembered. You know what you would have been able to do. But at that moment, you can't even find the strength to do it. You can't find the ability to do it. Hallelujah. Imagine that. I've shared it here once. I used to fight. Growing up, I had that tomboy thing. So, I used to fight. I won't look for your trouble, but don't look for mine. Do you get? Yes, now. You people are born righteous. Me, I used to fight. Thank you, Jesus. But you see, now, I can't even fathom it. Like, the thoughts, I can't imagine it. No, it's not because I'm a pastor. It ended in my Genesis 3, thereabouts. I just knew that, Jesus entered my life. I knew I couldn't fight again. Now, I just imagine myself. I say, so I'm fighting in the market. They are separating me. Stop fighting. But you can imagine the shame because the old man is dead. You can see it as shameful, as it doesn't belong to you, as because it's no more who you are. But when you used to be, what is it? Because of what? You pull your shoe. You can't think not fighting. But now we're in the same. We take up our cross. Even when we are offended, even when we are the one that are being troubled, even when we are the one in the right, we can give up our right. Why? We can. The life that we now have enables you to. You're not holding on to anything. Take it and be going. Amen. Hallelujah. Take it and be what? Be going. Praise God. Hallelujah. Has this one also gone with the light?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God is good.
Sure. What was I saying?
Where were we? No, I know. It's not human. I'm not saying human. That's what you've heard. Well, that's the summary. Newman. But what was I saying? What was the last thing I said? I was saying, even when you are right, thank you, give it up. Praise the Lord. Even when you are down, no wala. Do you understand? Why? I've received a life. A life you don't have. You know how Jesus said, Stephen being stoned to death said, you know, I can imagine he was about to die, but he said, I can't die until I've said this thing. I can't die until I said, Lord, Father, don't hold this sin against them. That was the last thing he said. They have hit his head. He was giving up the ghost. But he said, if I don't say this thing, this will be in trouble. Father, before we move, don't hold this sin against them. Why? Why is he not saying, kill them? Like James and John. Let's call legions of angels to use fire and destroy these people. And he said, what are you saying? You don't know what manner of spirit you are. So when we don't understand what happened to us when we received Jesus, we'll still be saying, Holy Ghost, fire, fire all of you. Thunder, kill all of you. But when you understand, I don't know who I was having that conversation with yesterday. And I said, Jesus. So those people don't know Jesus. So do you know? I said, hey, those people, they don't know Jesus. So no, I said, okay, no. Somebody was just teasing me about one man and his wife. And I was telling her, that was my own concern. See, hey, so that boy doesn't know Jesus. You know, he was just saying, I want the man has to beat his wife, blah, blah, blah. I said, hey, he doesn't know Jesus. And I used to greet him. You know, we used to chat. The fry akara, when I go to buy, and you don't know Jesus? Hey, so I know. I said, I didn't even know. I didn't know very well before. So now I know. Amen. Do you know, that's our attitude. I've been saying he's mad. How can he be beating his wife? How can he be committing adultery? How can he be chasing women? No, the question is, how can he not? Are you getting me? How can he not? When there's a law making sure he does that. So when we understand these things, we can actually relate to people better. You can actually preach the gospel better. Because you now understand, this person needs to be, there's a hold that needs to be broken. I need to preach Jesus some more. Hallelujah. It says, if anyone desires to come after me, who is desiring to come after the Lord? Who is desiring to follow Jesus? Who is desiring to follow him every day of your lives? What did he say? Deny yourself. You know, denying yourself is not easy. So you know that this is due me. This promotion is due me. But instead of me to do double into our righteousness, don't give me the promotion. I deserve this. It's my right. But instead of doing what I shouldn't do, I'm going to pull back. Praise the Lord. Deny yourself. That's hard to do. You're in a marriage. Deny yourself. Praise the Lord. Deny yourself. You know what you are saying, but you're not always right. You are right, but you don't have to be right. Did you get what I said? You are right. But peace and right, which one is better? When he says pursue peace with all men, it doesn't say men will not do bad things to you. It doesn't say they will not, you know, touch you in that place when they touch you, you can't take it anymore. They will spit on your face. They will step on your toes. They will do things to you that nobody should ever do to you. But you see, you can turn the other cheek. You can deny yourself. Take up your cross. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ daily. And be moving with it. And be living with it. It's not on Sundays that we are believers. Remember when I started? It's not in church that we come to show that we are church people. Remember, now everybody feels, you know, what are you? Christian. Even traditional worshippers. They don't know how to write traditional worship. They still write Christian when they are feeling form. But remember, at Antioch, the people did not say we are Christians. It is their life, the way they were behaving. As a matter of fact, it was in such a mockery, like those people that are like Christ. That's how the Christian, the word Christian came. Those people that are like Christ, those are these ones. But you see, today we don't even want to be identified as those ones that are like Christ. We say we are Christians, so, but don't, in, not in that way of, you know, people that don't have sense. Yeah? Do you get me? You know, that's, you don't have sense. You don't know, how can you, Jew girl, Jew boy, are you not sharp? Are you not smart? Don't you just signature now? Just this, just that. Just get pregnant first now. Be sharp. Age is no more on your side. Abby? Pack your bag. Just leave one month. You'll be forced. Repent is what Jesus says. The culture of your space, the culture of where you are, is not Jesus' culture. But when you feed your mind with the life, the nature, what you want, your spirit just lets you do what, have your way. Doesn't make it right. Praise God. Take up your cross. It is you who will pick it up. Pick up your cross. Follow. The good news is that Jesus, that life in him, empowers you to carry that cross. No matter how heavy, I'm telling you, sometimes you know what to do to make money very fast. Something is holding you on your neck. You know what to do. You know how to give in. Satan will bring a fantastic opportunity. You know what to do. Just. But pick up your cross. Deny yourself. Stick with Christ. Why? That is the life you have entered into. And the Spirit of God in you enables you to stand. Let me end with this. Hebrews 12:11. The Bible says, no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It is painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Those who are trained in this way. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful, but afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest or right living for those who are trained in this way. So now you have been saved. Please begin to align following the Lord, gearing towards that full stature of Christ. Doing it is not easy, which is why the Bible says no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. You have a responsibility. Say to yourself, I have a responsibility. When people hurt you, there's a responsibility to represent Christ through that hurt. Do you hear what I said? When people hurt you, you have a responsibility to still follow Jesus through that hurt. You have a responsibility to see Christ and his righteousness through that hurt. Please go ahead and give share the communion elements. If you're joining us online, it's our communion service, so please get your communion elements ready too. God bless you. Let's do that quickly, please. Amen. So please, being a Christian is beautiful. is very beautiful. And very importantly is that it's not just coming to church. Please don't be in church and church is not in you. Are you hearing me? Don't be in church and not let church be in you. Church is not this building. You are the church. Don't be called, don't be identifying as Christian. Meanwhile, there's no life of Christ in you. Don't be identifying as Christian. Meanwhile, you know, when people say nominal Christians, don't be that thing, whatever it is. Don't be a Christian that is not daily following Jesus. Because there is no Christianity without Christ. Christ is Christianity. Christianity is Christ. It's not what religion are you? Should I say Hindu? Should I say no? Is that the life I've identified with is the life of Christ. So, and in this life, we do things differently. We do things differently. So in my village, they do this, but in this culture, we do this way. In my office, they do like this, but I mean, this life I've identified with, this is what we do. And you insist on that life. The good news is that you are able, like I just tried to, you know, make that demonstration so that you know that you can. The life of Christ is working in you. The law of life is working in you. It's better to be cheated than for you to cheat. Did you hear what I said? It's better for you to be cheated than for you to cheat. It's better. Amen? Praise God. Yes, it's better. It's better that you are the one that gave in. In this kingdom, the way to up is down. Amen. The way to have is to give. See, it's a complete thing. It's a complete change to life. Every aspect of you. You're not withholding any part back. Including your finances, your relationships, your work, your marriage. Every aspect of your life. You can do that. If God that made man, made human being, gave up his rights, gave up his lordship, gave up his royalty, gave up his everything so that he can identify with you. Let me say it this way. So that he can fulfill purpose. So that he can be like his father. I mean, Jesus Christ. He gave up things, didn't he? So we can give up our feelings too. You can give up your feelings. Everybody that stepped on your toe must not say sorry. Amen. We're done, Abby. Everybody has gotten? Has everybody gotten? All right. Praise God. Let's bow our head. If you know where you need to repent, please do. For some of you, the Spirit of God has been telling you, He has been pointing you into that direction. Bow your head and talk to the Lord. Say, I repent. I've shown you that you are the one that will make that choice. I've shown you from the scriptures. You can choose. You can choose to let that sin be your master. You can choose to obey God and tilt towards righteous living. You can make that choice. Yes, you can. So you can repent of whatever it is. Whatever it is. Wherever you are holding back. Like I said, it doesn't have to be, you know, immoral in the way we define it. It's just that you have been disobeying the Lord. You have been walking in disobedience. God has been sending you on an assignment and you have been delaying. You have been disobeying Him. Remember, He says you are slave to the one you obey. So if you are not obeying God, you are obeying something else. If you are not obeying Jesus, you are obeying something else. If you are not obeying the Spirit of God, you are obeying something else. Father, we thank you. Thank you because you've gone all the way to ensure that we live and become like you. Thank you for your word you have sent to us today, Lord. I ask you, help us, Father. For everyone who have made a commitment to you this morning, Lord, I pray that you help them stand firm in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. It is you working in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. In the name of Jesus. Lord, this morning as we partake of the communion, we remember your sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Lord, thank you for going all the way. Thank you for dying for our sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for empowering us and giving us life to live like you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.